Hi, and welcome to All Things Cozy with Matt
and Jillian.
We are a bi-weekly podcast about everything that is warm, soft, and comforting. Today's episode is dedicated to the most important and, in my humble opinion, coziest meal of the day, breakfast. The American breakfast, to be exact. We'll be diving fork first into our personal favorites, both savory and sweet. And we'll also be sharing a couple of egg-cracking, toaster-popping, new-to-us recipes. Before we wake up and smell the coffee, let's check in with what's cozy in the news.
The frog craze has officially reached its peak, and if anyone has been listening for a while knows how much I love frogs. Not only did it reach its peak, perhaps it's reached the biggest lily pad with the opening of the ultra-exclusive Frog Club restaurant in New York. The hot new eatery has inspired rivets from the New York Times, Eater, Guest of a Guest, and more for its frog-inspired decor. Although photographs aren't allowed, you must cover your phone with stickers to get in, which is a little intense. Eater reports the space is decorated from back to front with painted mural of frogs and plates adorned with frog art blanket the ceiling. Reviews of the food are so-so, and actually some are bad. But the allure and secrecy has kept patrons hopping to get in. However, reservations aren't available on OpenTable or Resy, and you have to email Frog Club to secure your plate of flies. So will Frog Club croak or continue to make a splash? That remains to be seen, but the cozy part for me is frogs have officially arrived. If you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere.
How do you hop into the Frog Club exactly?
You just have to email them. I was reading deeper about it, and this person was like, yeah, it was a little bit difficult to figure out what to do because their website is very sparse, as these places tend to be. I was like, yeah, we just emailed them and we got in. But I think it only seats 68 people from what I read. I just want to go in and see it because Eater also cited a neighborhood newsletter that said that the indoor was like Frog and the Toad, but with a high dose of LSD. And I just want to go in and see how they decorated it with frogs.
It's like a hypno-toad kind of situation. We're licking the frogs here.
The New York Times had a few photos. I guess you let the Times in. And you can get a little taste for what it's like. But I just think it's neat that a fancy, exclusive club is now employing frog decor. Back in the day when I was, as you know, Matt, ruthlessly called Frog Girl by my middle school teacher. And now it's cool to be a frog girl.
I'm so glad there is now a place for frog girls like you to congregate and build community with each other.
I know. I should have kept all my frog stuff from when I was younger. I had a frog blow-up chair, frog pajamas.
Peace frog shirts.
Frog slippers. Yeah, all the frog stuff. I could have been the hippest girl in New York.
It's not too late. Bust that out. Hop along to New York.
What's on your news desk?
Well, we just went through an historic eclipse. So my news story is about that. I know, Jillian, you're an eclipse head. That's probably a mischaracterization.
Eclipse head. Well, Matt, you asked me, because we saw each other that same day, and you asked me if I had gone and seen it.
You
and
sheltered in place.
No, I did. And I guess I am an eclipse head in the sense of I'm more into the energies of it. And I read that you shouldn't go outside because it sounds really, I'm saying it out loud. When I said to you, I'm like, oh God, I'm in too deep.
Jillian, did you get my tin foil shipment to your house?
It apparently will deplete you of your energy, and you really should reserve that energy and meditate and focus on what you want to manifest from the coming year. Because eclipse represents endings, but it's also a lot of energy to restart and reboost. So I closed all the shades. I lied down on a mat as it was passing over. And I meditated. So I'm really deep into it now. And I guess there's no turning back. But afterward, my partner and I were, maybe we should have seen it. Maybe we should have tried. So just closing all the shades. But anyway, I'm going on a yarn.
There are plenty of pictures. And using that as an opportunity to meditate is very cozy. So that was good that you took that opportunity. So this cozy news story is eclipse related. And it starts in 1978. When Patrick Moriarty, a high school science teacher in Rochester, New York, noted to his students that they would be in the path of totality for a solar eclipse on, you guessed it, April 8th, 2024. And he quipped then, quote, circle this, we're going to get together on that. His class looked at him like he was crazy, but here we are 46 years later, and he made good on his promise and hosted his former students and their families at his home to experience the eclipse together. As CNN reports, the teacher told his former students, quote, "It's not all about the eclipse. It's about you guys being here to share this time with my family and me and each other," adding, "I wish every educator had this." What an amazing, first of all, holding a promise that you make 46 years earlier is such a wonderful thing. This was something he worked for because he would send reminders every few years to kind of like, he had a Facebook group going. So he was planning this for a long time. So if you're wondering how on earth did they track down everybody to do this, it's because he maintained that contact. But that's also cozy in sense of like, he's really such a part of his students' lives moving forward. And it's so amazing that they got to have this communal experience all around their passion for science, but really just fun to see each other.
Did some former students travel out of state?
They did, yes. And one even postponed a knee surgery to be there. So
wow.
They took this very seriously.
This really, I feel like I'm bursting into tears right now. It's so sweet. It's one of those things that you hear this kind of story and then years later you'll be walking down the street or cooking and then it pops into your mind and you're warmed all over again. Like, this is one of those stories. I think it's so sweet. I love how he stuck to his word and he reminded them in a little Facebook group and kept in touch. And it's just so sweet. I love this story.
Very sweet that they all stayed in contact with each other and had those connections this many years later.
And then he made it. I don't know how old he was. That would have been really sad if he didn't take a dark turn.
Not only are we all still alive, we are eating breakfast. So look, we think breakfast is such a cozy meal. Breakfast foods are super cozy. We think it's about time that we really dedicated an episode and our focus and our concentration on the meal that starts our day. Breakfast is a very special, and if you think about it, strange meal. There are these specific dishes that, at least in the United States, are generally consumed only in the morning and often prepared in a very specific way. And a lot of what we consider to be staples are really relatively new in the scope of culinary history. I was reading that, on a less cozy note, related to the Industrial Revolution, the big cozy breakfast that I really enjoy myself these days really only became important when you would be away from home for a long period of time, working for an employer in the factory as opposed to your own land.
Child labor.
Yeah, exactly. We made up with child labor with Fruit Loops. So I think, you know, close a door, open a window. But boy, did we find a lot of different ways to fill our bellies in the morning. The Big Bacon Lobby made the meat extremely popular in the early 20th century. And we have Dr. John Harvey Kellogg to thank for some of the earliest and most enduring breakfast cereals, which apparently, I was reading, were designed to, quote, not excite the passions and reduce the urge to self-pleasure, which is making me reflect on all of the cereal I eat every day. But despite some of this nutty granola history, breakfast has blossomed into a beloved meal where if we have the time, we can dig into flavors we find comforting and nostalgic. We have a lot to say about what we like to have for breakfast. And really, this is, yes, listener, this is just Julian and I who are going to yak on about what we like to eat for breakfast. But before we go into that, I do think, Julian, we should talk a little bit about where we like to go for breakfast, because also the time we take and the experience of breakfast is very cozy and worth discussing. Julian, from your perspective, do you think your coziest breakfasts have been at home or outside the house? And if it's outside the house, where?
I think it's important to have the distinction between brunch.
It's so funny that you mentioned that, because when I was discussing this topic with my husband, he brought up the topic of brunch and I had like this sort of reaction to be like, not brunch. Because immediately to me, brunch is a whole other thing.
Yes.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you can have brunch alone. I think brunch is a thing you do socially.
Yeah.
I've never been to, I'm going to go brunch by myself. And no, if I did, I would just call that my breakfast. For some reason, yeah. Brunch is like a thing you do with friends. And I don't know, maybe that's just me being crazy. But I feel like, yeah, brunch is a whole separate experience. We're talking really about the first meal of the day. Mm-hmm. You are breaking your fast from not eating overnight. Can be with other people, obviously, but this is also something that we do alone every day. At least eventually you have something to eat first thing. You know, some people really don't like breakfast. They skip it all the time. I have never been one of those people. I have to religiously have a dedicated breakfast every day.
I'm pretty similar. I'm a diehard breakfast person, and I always love to eat my breakfast at home. Curling up with a good breakfast and a cup of coffee on the couch is just really important to me. And breakfast is personal for me. I reserve brunch for the social aspect.
Yes.
And just have breakfast by myself. And I'm pretty particular when I eat breakfast. And I think when you're eating breakfast with other folks, if you're going out and not a brunch setting, but just going to get breakfast somewhere, the fare is not something that I'd be really into. I'm not really into sweet stuff, the pancakes thing, or your typical breakfast. And I'll get into the kind of breakfast I like. So they're very Jillian-centric, so it's personal, and I like to eat it at home.
So at home, like my everyday before I go to work kind of meal, I'm still a cereal fanatic. Not like a kid's cereal. I have graduated into the boring adult cereals. We're talking like multigrain Cheerios kind of thing. So like not like Cocoa Pebbles or anything, to my own credit. And I love putting fresh fruit on it. Sprinkle in some fresh cut strawberries and banana, a little bit of almond milk in there, and just have a really nice little fruit and grain medley. Yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of makes me think about childhood breakfast. I did eat a lot of cereal too. I may need to get back into it, the adult version. My parents just had, and they deny it, and we've actually gone to a literal fight about it. I've been gaslit. They had every sugary cereal under the sun in the house. Literally, it was a Willy Wonka chocolate factory up in there. There's nothing that we couldn't have, and they deny it now. Very healthy breakfast and meals. No, I was Count Dracula or Chocula, whatever it was.
What was your favorite childhood cereal?
Reese's Puffs.
Oh, that's a great choice.
That was a good one because I love peanut butter and chocolate and all that kind of stuff.
Cereal for me, it's like an everyday thing. When I think about cozy breakfast where you're really getting the time to dig in, as much as I love cereal and it's a staple for me, I don't consider it necessarily like my coziest breakfast experience. It's not the thing that I really look forward to and really savor when I'm having that. So it's a little less cozy, but it is really what I eat most of the time. And it's probably not the healthiest thing for me to be doing.
No, a fruit medley. Bananas.
The fruit's good, yeah. But
yeah, that's good.
I know there's probably like better things to be consuming in the morning. But the thing is honestly, you have to understand where I'm coming from. I was a kid who was eating Frosted Flakes. I loved Fruity Pebbles, all of that stuff.
So your mom was like my parents, which is just get all the sugary cereals in the house and
I remember
not blink an eye.
There was like an intermediate period where I was obsessed with Honey Bunches of Oats. But it's extremely caloric.
Well, something. I think as long as you feed the kids and give them something, like, hey.
Everything in moderation, right?
Yes.
Including sugary breakfast cereals and also the prizes and the, like, the
whole, oh,
you know,
the prizes.
Breakfast cereal,
oh,
is a whole
so
experience.
Fun.
You get, like, the toy. You get the, you know, we didn't have our phones back then. No smartphones back then. So we would have to read the back of the cereal box.
Yeah.
In my day.
And they had games on the side that you could play and things like that. Yeah. No, it was fun. They need to bring that back. Maybe they are doing it. I don't know. I haven't really dabbled in children's cereal in a minute.
No, I don't know. We don't have kids. Yeah, all the parents were screaming, like, they still do all of that stuff. But
right.
We won't know. We don't hear you.
Maybe they do.
For me, though, in terms of like coziest place to have breakfast, as much as I like, you know, a nice breakfast in, and it's kind of ironic because it is the meal that I am best at preparing. In terms of my repertoire of like different things I can prepare for myself, other people, I can really handle breakfast. I can make French toast.
I
can make
that.
Omelets versus like dinner. I turn into a ninny who's like scared of the skillet.
I didn't know you were a French toast chef.
We had a lot of French toast growing up. As you can tell, we had a really healthy household.
Definitely dove into our sugary household.
Whatever. It's what we were marketed. Every time you'd see a breakfast hero commercial, it would say like part of this complete breakfast. And they'd cut to like bacon, eggs, pancakes, a big pitcher of orange juice. Or you'd see a movie in the 90s and 80s and the kids
they
would come downstairs.
They still do it, Matt. They
and
still,
there's all this food on the table. Like, where's all that going? In the trash?
It's actually a sick obsession. I don't know why I decided to do this. I've been rewatching every episode of Medium with Patricia Arquette. And that's a big breakfast scene show because she always has her dreams in the night and she wakes up and she goes, ugh. And Joe says, oh, another dream, Allison. And say, yeah, yeah. And then they go to the table and then the big breakfast scene. And it's always a ton of food. Cereals, like you're saying, they have like bagels, croissants, like the mom's preparing breakfast. I don't recall ever waking up on a weekday and my mom just having a 4-course meal for me. They still do that in shows.
On a weekday, it was every person for themselves. Throw in a Pop-Tart, get out of here.
Yeah, maybe an egg, God knows. But yeah, it's like the lotion, women rubbing lotion on their hands trope, like talking to their husband before they get into bed on TV and stuff.
Yeah.
No, there's no lotion for one's hands. There's no breakfast to be had. And Matt, maybe you can write the great next American TV show and have no breakfast in any of your scenes.
Well, of course I'm going to include breakfast. I love breakfast. And
but not
I think,
like this fake breakfast.
I think, yeah, but I think that's the power of
Tell
breakfast,
us the
actually.
Truth.
Yeah. This is the power of breakfast, though, Jillian, is that we aspire to it. And so we put it into our shows and our movies because this is the reality we want, but sadly can't experience on a daily basis because we're just in the rush and the busyness of life. So for me, though, again, I love my breakfast at home, but I really think from a cozy perspective, I love going to a place to eat breakfast. I am a person who loves to feel smug about getting up early and being like, everyone else is asleep. Here I am. I'm having breakfast. So I love being in a restaurant early, and especially if it's like a busy place for lunch and dinner, but like then it's sparse in the morning and when it's quiet and the prices are cheaper. Overall, my favorite place, I think the coziest place to have breakfast is a diner. I just like the whole experience, the comfy booths, all the little condiments they have on the table, the doting waiter, all that stuff is just really nice and comforting in the morning, all those comfort foods for breakfast. So at the end of the day, like heaven could just be a breakfast diner for me, and I'd be very happy.
I think for me, it depends on the diner, because when I was growing up, and it's still there, they had the Shipwreck Diner, and there's not a lot of booths, maybe.
Too crowded.
And it's a very narrow. It's like very cozy and intimate, and you do see people you know and things like that. But then there's other Long Island diners, which is just like a mall in and of itself. They're huge. They're bustling. They're loud and crowded. So I think it depends for me on the type of diner. But I can envision the cozy diner you're speaking of, and they're very nice. Good spot to have your breakfast.
Let's open up our breakfast buffet and chat about what we're going to have for breakfast. So we have four categories that we are going to be discussing today. We're going to be talking about our savory favorites, our sweet favorites, our breakfast buy. So basically when we're out on the go, like what would we love to just grab when we're out? And then a new recipe that we each tried to expand our breakfast repertoire for what we prepare for ourselves at home. I'm a savory person, not a sweet person.
Me too.
What is your savory go-to, Jillian, for breakfast?
Rice and eggs. I love to make some rice, throw some eggs on it, maybe some spinach, some feta tomato. The toppings do vary, but the core, rice and eggs. And I've been making it for a long time. And it's really simple. I could eat rice breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I just love rice. So if I throw some egg whites onto it, because I don't really like yolk. It's not a diet thing. It's just ever since I've been little, I just like the whites. So that's really gives me room, I think, to fill it up with other things. Big feta freak. But I've also been on a actually feta freak, put on my tombstone. I've also been on a very big cannelli beans kick. And so I just fry them lightly in the pan or just get them heated up. And you can make them a little bit more crunchy and toastier, or you can have them just be, I don't know, warm and a little tender. But I put in spinach once again, some onions, and then when it's all done, I just grate some Havarti cheese over it. And it's very savory, filling, and cheap. So that's been my go-to thing. But I mix it up. Rice is always typically in there, though. Can't go wrong with rice.
Did you grow up having rice and eggs? Was that like a childhood dish, or is it something you came to later in life?
No. I guess maybe when I think it was subletting after my first year at Pratt, and anyone who was with me in that trial probably know that I was making these egg tacos, and they really weren't tacos. It was just, I don't even know what it was, but it was definitely burnt, and I just became synonymous with egg tacos. And then somehow I switched over to eggs and rice. And I don't know. I just think it works perfectly. I think anything
can work with rice. It's a great combo. It's delicious.
Yeah, I like it. I've been doing it for years, decades.
I was first exposed to eggs and rice when we were living in Korea, and omu rice, the Japanese dish where you have like rice in an omelet, basically. And that's just incredibly tasty. So I was wondering if there was a connection there, if there was an omu rice legacy.
I just think I want to put rice in everything. I think that's what inspired it.
I'm not going to stop you, Jillian.
What about you?
For me, you know, eggs are the all-star for me. I love how they make me feel in terms of they fill me up and I feel satiated for a long time. Like I don't have to eat anything else for many hours. I feel like it's a good start to my day. So I love an egg dish, and I keep it simple, like just an egg and cheese omelet. Of course, any amount of vegetables in the omelet are very welcome. I love spinach, green pepper, all that stuff, tomato, great. But at the end of the day, if it's even just egg and cheese, I'm very happy with that. And I also love a carb element. So I like toast. I like to have some hash browns. And that's kind of goes back to the diner thing I said. Like that's a kind of a good diner staple. Like you get your omelet with your hash browns and your side of toast and everything. And I should add that Jillian and I are both vegetarians. And so if you're like waiting for us to talk about bacon, it's not going to happen.
Well, maybe I would throw some salmon in there because I ate fish. So yeah.
I just want to call that out. Even as a vegetarian, sometimes I'll add mock meat to that, like some of those Morningstar breakfast sausages.
And those are good.
Those are good. That to me is like an A+ start to my day, an omelet with some toast and hash browns.
Yeah, can't go wrong. I love toast, especially sourdough toast. Very good.
Well, let's move on to our sweet favorites, because Jillian, you and I are both a little less high on the sweets, but I know that if we had to choose, we do like certain more sweet breakfasts. What is your sweet go-to for breakfast if you had to do something sweet?
I actually was going through a kick, and that's very typical of me. I go through obsessions and kicks until I can't take it anymore. And so I was going through an overnight oats kick, and I know that overnight oats have been talked about to death. Like, I think they had their moment and people are probably sick of hearing about them, but you can make them enjoyable and creative and dessert-like. And so I like my overnight oats to mimic a cheesecake consistency. And so I always use Greek yogurt, and then I put a lot of enjoyable things. Like, maybe I would blend all of these different fruits together so it's almost like a jelly-like consistency, and then put it in there. Obviously, maple syrup and vanilla extract, always good to have. But there's this one dessert like overnight oats from Lemons and Zest that's really great as an example of something I used to make or would make. And you put, they say you put peanut butter in this one, but I put almond butter and just all the typical fixings. So the rolled oats, the milk, the Greek yogurt, the maple syrup, the vanilla, but you can jazz it up by maybe putting some chocolate protein powder in there and also maybe drizzling some Nutella. So going back to those Reese's Puffs, this would have that kind of consistency, but more healthy and filling. So I think overnight oats, you can do them wrong and make them boring or not so enjoyable. But this is something that I would look forward to eating in the morning. And there's something about having something to look forward to when you first wake up and something so simple like this that kind of keeps you going and makes it easier to wake up. So I also like to do that too. If I have something really tasty, I'll keep that in mind and I just hop out of bed a little bit more quicker, and it's a nice start to my day.
Yeah, and that's a great option for when you do have to get going. I know you start work really early, so having that just ready to go is so convenient. And you get the very satisfying, filling flavor of this kind of dish with very little prep in the morning.
What's your sweet tooth calling for?
This one does require prep in the morning. I'm going to go back to French toast, but I really love if I can also incorporate some fruit into it as well. So I love blueberries and strawberries on the French toast. I find that to be just very satisfying. I also love a waffle. I've been known to enjoy waffles, but it's the kind of thing where I'm like, I really just want a taste of the sweet for breakfast. Like, if I'm at a diner, I'm thinking of IHOP even, where they get like a side of pancakes. That's perfect for me, especially if I can split that with someone else. I'm not heavy into the sweets for how I start my day. But I think for me, it's the association of my mom used to make French toast a lot for me as a kid. So it's a childhood favorite. So it feels nostalgic and fun for me when I do get to enjoy some of that in the morning.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point about having someone to split your food with who's a sweet tooth, because my partner's a sweet tooth person and always orders pancakes and French toast off the menu. So I get my little
hit.
Yeah,
you get a bite of it. And then, yeah, I love it when someone else orders it and I just try a bite of that and I'm so satisfied.
Yeah. See, we're still learning stuff about each other, what, 10 plus years later?
A lot of times friends don't just come together and talk about, like, what do you like to eat for breakfast? It's almost like a first date awkward conversation, right?
That might seem a little suggestive. How about that? Way down the line. Yeah, but I didn't know you're a French toast chef or ate that a lot.
Well, let's not go crazy. French toast chef is a little bit much.
I didn't know how I would make it. I guess you just put eggs on some bread and so.
Yeah, that's you just kind of said it.
I thought there was more involved.
Dip the bread in the egg. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You could try it.
Now, sometimes we don't have the time and you want a breakfast buy, something that you can pick up and enjoy a little more quickly. We are Americans here, so I guess we're going into a little bit more of fast food territory with this category. Jillian, what is your breakfast buy in terms of, like, you're out and about and you want to grab a quick bite? What are you picking up?
Honestly, I'm a basic cozy. I like Starbucks's Finnish egg white and feta wrap, and you can see a theme in all the things that I'm eating. It's just a rotation of egg whites, feta. I'm basically made of egg whites and feta. I like this because it doesn't feel so heavy. Like, when I'm on the go for breakfast, and I run into this issue all the time, it's mostly sweet stuff. So when I was recently on vacation with a friend and she's big on the sweet stuff. So he's like, oh, good, grab breakfast to go from a cafe. And it's like, God, and I know that I'm going to be just muffins here, all this sweet, cakey kind of stuff. And so if I am at a Starbucks and we're on a road trip or something, that's what I prefer. It's light, it's filling. I don't feel so heavy because there's nothing worse than feeling so heavy. And like when you're on a trip, it can be exciting to go to your favorite spot. But if you're really like you're on a road trip that's more of work or a job or you're really looking forward to it, then you'd also don't want to be sitting there with something super heavy. So this is perfect for me. Also, if I'm just running errands and things like that and I need to pick up something, I'll do this wrap. And it's pretty good. It's decent. It's been on the menu for a long time. Holds its salt, if that's a phrase.
I like that. Yeah. It's very food oriented. I like that.
Starbucks is sending me its check.
I really like their Impossible Breakfast Sandwich. That's my go-to there. If I'm
picking
something
up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe I've got to expand out. I didn't know that.
It's good too. I mean, good being a relative term. For me, my breakfast buy, I got to just be honest, it's an egg McMuffin. I know that's not cool or fashionable to say. And also more expensive than ever. I don't know what they're smoking over there at McDonald's.
What's the cost?
These McMuffins are made out of gold. It's actually been a while since I've been there because I don't, at this point, have a McDonald's on my way to work like I used to. I feel like if I did pick up a coffee and egg McMuffin, it would cost me like $11 or something.
Are you
serious? And that was a few years ago. Yeah.
For an egg McMuffin.
For the combo, yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I just looked this up on the internet and like the first headline is McDonald's 729 egg McMuffin leaves customers stunned. Outrageous.
That is
pricing.
Stunning. Yeah. That is outrageous. That is absolutely outrageous.
Not the kind of value that it used to be, but that being said, the way they make their eggs, it's so fluffy and soft and just it's also very easy to eat because of the way they cook it. So there's no runny yolk or anything like that. The one complaint I have as a vegetarian is that they don't just have a priced option for egg and cheese only. I have to get the one with Canadian bacon on it and be like, leave that slice off.
And you're still paying for it.
Feed it to a dog or something. I won't be eating it. And sometimes they'll forget and I have to like throw this hockey puck of meat out. But it's even healthier to eat. It's just an English muffin with some cheese and egg.
Yeah, it's pretty light.
And it's just so simple, but it's so good. I tend to get breakfast sandwiches when I'm out and about. And everything I get is just a shadow of what an egg McMuffin is.
I agree with you there. It's really easy to eat, light, tasty. Can't really mess it up outside of the hockey puck of Canadian bacon.
Well, we also tried some new recipes. I'll let Jillian kick it off. What's a new recipe you tried so that we can expand our breakfast horizons here together?
There's one I have tried and there's one I aspire to for the summer. So the first one I tried, the breadcrumb fried eggs. And I had this on my radar for a while. And I find all of my recipes on Instagram Reels because I'm just obsessed with these reels.
Both of our recipes today come from Instagram Reels. So it's definitely how we get information. I mean, it makes sense, though, because you get to see the food item and you get pulled in like, oh, that looks delicious. I want to make that.
Right. It really catches your eye. And one of the things that caught my eye, I'm always looking for different ways to make eggs that has like a nice crunchy base. Because you can make the rice that I use crispy or soft, depending on what you want. And so this is a base of panko breadcrumbs mixed with Parmesan, and you make it all toasty in the pan, and then you create little nests for your eggs. And in this particular video from 177 Milk Street's Instagram, they put three eggs in a little nest, and then you cover it with some spinach and just let it steam and cook a little bit. And you can add some different seasoning into it, like paprika or whatever you want. And then you have some yummy, cheesy, red crumb, crunchy eggs with a little hint of vegetables. Because, you know, I'm big on the spinach, too, for whatever reason. And yeah, it, you know, mine kind of fell apart. It really wasn't as nice looking as this person, but there it was cooked by a chef in this particular video. But I love the crunch and I like the cheesy base and I'll try it again. For whatever reason, I just couldn't get it to stick and not crumble and fall apart. But the taste was 10 out of 10.
I love dishes where it's all prepared in one skillet. Easy cleanup. And it looks so simple and tasty.
Yeah. So many different ways to create little nests for your eggs. And this is a very savory, delicious one. And then a recipe for the summer that I want to try. It's very simple. John Gregory Smith on Instagram has a frozen peach yogurt. And it looks so refreshing. So it's just taking these frozen peaches and grating it over yogurt and drizzling it with honey. I know it's not a mind-blowing revolutionary concept, but I've never grated frozen fruit over yogurt. I think that would just be a simple way to elevate yogurt and so refreshing for the summer. So I want to try that.
Cool for the summer.
What about you?
Off of your egg nests, which are a little bit Easter themed as we're leaving that holiday and kind of in the month it usually is currently, I was pulled in by Brunch with Babs. We all know Babs. She's all over Instagram and TikTok these days. And her Easter egg boats are what caught my eye, but I don't know why Easter has to really be a part of it. These are just basically you take a baguette and you cut a boat shape in the middle of it. It's almost like a bread bowl, right? A bread boat. And on the side, you whip up some eggs. If it's a larger baguette, you can do 6 eggs. We had a smaller one, so we just did 4 eggs. You mix in any kind of vegetables you really want to have with your eggs. We did some asparagus and green onion. We had red pepper in there. And then we added some cheddar cheese to that. And then what I thought was clever was she also puts cheddar cheese on the bottom of the boat so that not all of your egg gets soaked into the bread. She has a more porous bread, keeps the egg up. Now, she calls for adding heavy cream to the egg, I think, so that it maintains, it doesn't quite soak in as much to the bread and it maintains its fluffiness. For health reasons, we chose to not add the heavy cream. I personally didn't miss it, but I'm sure it's delicious to add that if you can take it. So what all you do is once you have your egg mixture, you pour it into the bread, you sprinkle some more cheddar cheese on top, and then you pop that into the oven for 40 minutes and you take it out. We added some chives for the top for some garnish, a little more onion flavor. After it's cooled for a couple minutes, you just cut it up and serve it. And it's so, so good. And it's so simple. And I don't know where this has been my whole life. We had a great time eating it. And it's so pretty, too. Like, this is a great thing for if you are hosting a brunch. It's really simple to prepare. And it has a bit of that wow factor. So check out all the recipes that Julian and I are mentioning will be in our show notes. And we'll have links to those videos and recipes so you can try them at home. I really loved this bread boat. It was great.
Now I'm even dying to try more than I had because I'd seen this not from Babs, but from someone else who said her dad would always make it when she was a kid. And you know, we love our egg in a hole.
Yeah, exactly.
Was it like a whole?
This is like a bigger version of that. So instead of it just being like one egg and a single piece of toast, you have like lots of scrambled eggs and like a whole baguette. And it's so easy to share too. Again, if you're like having multiple people over, slice it up. It's like great finger food. It's a great hors d'oeuvre, actually, before dinner or something. So I think this is a very versatile dish. And if you're a meat eater, you could add meat to it. There's a lot of options. So it's really whatever your heart desires and very cozily customizable. So those are all of our cozy breakfast faves. We hope you enjoyed our breakfast buffet. We would love to hear what your favorite breakfast dishes are. Let us know on Facebook or Instagram. We are at All Things Cozy Podcast. But before we leave the breakfast table, I do have a breakfast lightning round for us just so that we can really get to the bottom of what are our favorites when it comes to options for breakfast. So, Julian, are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Breakfast lightning round. Coffee, tea, or none for me? Where do you stand?
Coffee.
Coffee for me as well. I gotta have that Java. Pancakes or waffles, Julian?
Pancakes.
I think I'm going to go waffle.
Oh.
There's more syrup receptacles.
That's a good way of looking at it. Don't let go of my ego.
That's right. Favorite way to cook an egg?
Fried.
Do you do sunny side up or over easy? What's like, how do you prepare that fried egg?
Oh, it's just fried egg whites.
Yeah, no yolk.
We ride at dawn, fried
egg. That's right. The egg whites only. I love a sunny side up, but for some reason, I just get lazy and do over easy typically, but I love a sunny side up egg. I like the runny yolk.
Classic.
Favorite type of toast?
Sourdough.
For me, it's rye. Got to have that rye bread.
Learn new things left and right.
And that concludes our breakfast lightning round.
I actually got nervous.
So now you know exactly what to make for Julian and me when we're over for breakfast. That was the goal of this episode. Matt and Julian share their breakfast favorites so that you know what to make for them. All right. So now that our bellies are full with some delicious, cozy breakfast, let's wind down with some words of warmth. My words of warmth this week are a little less of like quote, but more of an excerpt from a very important text. And that book is called Winnie the Pooh. And here's the quote. I thought it was very appropriate for our topic today. And this is by A.A. Milne. And first we have Piglet speaking. So here's the excerpt. "When you wake up in the morning, Pooh," said Piglet at last, What's the first thing you say to yourself? What's for breakfast? Said Pooh. What do you say, Piglet? I say, I wonder what's going to happen exciting today, said Piglet. Pooh nodded thoughtfully. It's the same thing, he said. And I just thought this was a very cozy breakfast forward excerpt. Breakfast is very exciting, and it's honestly the reason I get up every day.
Oh, no, no, same. Like, putting on the feed bag is definitely something that gets me
motivated. Thanks for putting
motivated.
It that way, Jillian. That really makes me feel great.
No, that's what motivates me. And I know there's a bag of microwavable rice and some egg whites waiting for me. Yes.
Yeah, some overnight oats.
Right.
Prepared like a cheesecake.
Hey, the things that we got to have to keep us going. Like, if it's that, it's some rice and eggs, it's some rice and eggs.
Jillian, what words of warmth are warming your soul this week?
Funnily enough, the author of the quote I chose cited Winnie the Pooh in his introduction for a book that I had recommended in one of our cozy gift guides, Life is Meals, written by James Salter. And what inspired that book of just collection of thoughts on food and recipes and things like that was taken from his novel Light Years. And this quote, which I will read, life is weather, life is meals. Lunches on a blue check cloth on which salt has spilled. The smell of tobacco, brie, yellow apples, and wood-handled knives. And I like that quote because it's just so simple but yet evocative and imagining the spirit of a meal or meals that have passed and times that are shared. But really, everything is centered on meals. He goes into it deeper into the book Life is Meals, but he says it's a record of marriage. It's the passage of time. It marks all the time and memories that you collect with others. And usually when you think about time spent with people, there's always a backdrop of a meal. And I think that's really special. And even though, Matt, you and I like to have our meals like little goblins in the morning by ourselves.
Or as one woman likes to say, a feed bag. So
even so, a meal, that is a special thing, a special memory with myself. And it's the center of my universe, my little rice and eggs. And life is meals.
Yeah, with our by ourselves. No, this is really beautiful. I really do aspire to the kind of, again, presence in eating breakfast or any kind of meal that this person really gets to enjoy and memorialize through the memories that are created with other people over food. I just eat so fast. I just need to slow down and take in those moments. These words of warmth are a good reminder to do that.
Yes.
Before we go, we of course have our candle review, and our candle today is breakfast themed. We are burning Lazy Breakfast by Stark's Candle Company. It's soy wax with a wood wick, which I'm bravely lighting, even though it has a lot of all of those crackling noises that you know spook me sometimes. It's important for me to describe the look of this candle. So it's a tumbler glass with a white candle, but on top are these wax Fruit Loop-like wax melts, very colorful on top. And so it looks like a bowl of cereal. Stark's Candle Company describes on their site, it will fill your entire space with the familiar fragrance of a fresh bowl of Fruit Loops. You will instantly be taken back to childhood memories of Saturday morning cartoons with a fresh bowl of cereal. The notes are assorted fruit with a mix of lemon cake. Truly the best way to describe this is if you've ever smelled Fruit Loops, it is exactly that smell. It is a home run, 100% reproduction of a sugary bowl of fruit cereal and with a very lemon forward scent. You know, it almost sounds like that might be cloying or overpowering, but it's actually just a lemony, fresh scent in your space. And I really am loving this. The throw is so powerful and incredible. This is really going to fill your room up. It's $32. It's on sale right now from $40 on the website. And I believe that is fully worth it, both for the adorable touch of the wax Fruit Loops, which are so pretty. I sent Jillian a picture of it. I was so excited.
Yeah, it was really cute. Yeah.
This is kind of like a showstopper candle. It's a great gift because it has a bit of a wow factor to it. And again, it delivers that scent completely full bore. It's unmistakable. And I think I should add, too, that the owner, Carmen Starks, this company is woman-owned and all the candles are hand-poured. She moved from Chicago, my hometown, to Arizona and was like, you know what? I'm tired of all these candles not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I'm going to make candles. And Carmen, we're so grateful that you went into the candle business because you're making candles that smell like how they're supposed to smell.
I think there's a market for that in Arizona because they're really going for those sandalwoody. But yeah, let's bring in the Fruit Loops. And
exactly.
It's a great way to get that nostalgia, that hit of sugar that maybe you left behind in childhood but want to experience it a different way. So It's a really cool candle.
I also have to shout out Stark's Candle Company for their amazing customer service, because I was a dodo and didn't put my apartment number on when I ordered it originally, but it came through with an email and they fixed it right away. And the handwritten note in my delivery with an extra little thank you sample candle, it was all packaged with a lot of care. It was just really a great customer service experience, which sometimes can be a struggle depending on certain candle companies, but they have really great customer service. I did want to shout that out.
Yeah, it's always worth shouting out. Always.
An enthusiastic wick up, cereal spoon up for lazy breakfast by Stark's Candle Company. Before we go, we do have a few shout outs. First of all, we have our first new review for her podcast on Apple Podcasts since December. So we are really grateful to Denver Does It for writing their review. They wrote, "Love, I just discovered your podcast. It is a welcome break from my work and day-to-day responsibilities to listen to y'all discuss coziness, contentment, and all the happy little things in life. I adore the candle reviews, have gotten some great music recommendations, and I can't wait to listen to all the episodes." Thank you, Denver Does It, for your really generous review. We love it when folks share their feedback with us. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it's welcome to leave that. It really helps other people find the show. So thank you for leaving us a review. It really warms our heart. Just like eggs and rice, we are so thrilled to have this on our plate today.
Yeah, and it's good to know that folks also enjoy our candle reviews, because sometimes I wonder how that's going to land.
Yeah.
You can't sniff it yourself. Yeah. So it's good to know that we're bringing new candles to people, and it's enjoyed. I also want to shout out our new Instagram followers. We've got about 10 new friends over the past week or so, and we're so glad you're here. And it's just a really nice way to keep in touch with us and see what's going on with the show. And we announce our new episodes and our book club picks. And sometimes you'll get photos of Snickers and Reese's thrown in there. It's just a fun
Julianne's
place.
Cats.
Yeah, it's my cat.
Not the candy.
That's good context to have. It's not just me taking random artistic photos of
Julianne's Halloween haul. But yeah, no, if you do listen to our show and you haven't had the chance yet, do check out our social media. We are on Instagram at All Things Cozy Podcast. We're also on Facebook. If you're there, just search in All Things Cozy Podcast will come up. And we have a Facebook group where we just share cozy stuff. You get some photos of us on our foraging adventure. You get some exclusive pics. Also, I do want to say, while we're wrapping up, we are now on YouTube Music. So it's our understanding that Google Podcasts is coming to a close. If you do listen to our show on Google Podcasts, you can now migrate over to YouTube Music, where that will now host podcasts. So we are adding new episodes to that particular destination as they come out. So you can't necessarily listen to the back catalog there currently, but you can listen to every new episode that's come out since the last couple. And of course, moving forward, just want to point that
exciting
out.
Stuff.
At this point, I think we are fully saturated. I don't think there's an outlet we're not at. And for listeners, if you're like, "I like XYZ app and I can't find your podcast on it," do let us know and we'll make sure that we're added.
You will never escape the sound of the one who loves you. Really, you can never escape.
We're on every single podcast destination. Our bellies are full. We have had a delicious breakfast with you all. Again, we would love to hear what you have for breakfast. Share your favorite recipes on our social media. We'll be back in your ears with a brand new episode in just 2 more weeks. As we wrap up our season, we just have 2 more episodes until we go into our summer hibernation. So look forward to those episodes in May. Until next time, stay cozy.